Last week we were in Jesus' miracle there in Cana, turning that water into wine. And as we were going through that, I keep on seeing this word picture of that we are signs. We're like these billboards, you know, in life. And whether some billboards might be kind of small and people can't really see them, some might be kind of far away and can't really get understand a word or leading us. Some of them are pointing us in three or four different directions. They've ever been some of the big cities. Sometimes they do that to you, and you're going off the wrong one. You're going, no! Like that. If you do that in Bangkok, it takes at least a half an hour if you miss your turn. So you're always very careful. Even then, sometimes you miss it and stuff like that too. So, and of course, there are those very clear signs as well. And I was thinking about, as reading this, I could see there's a journey, a faith journey. And you know, everybody has a different way how God has spoken in their life and how they walk in this faith journey and how long it is as well. I remember when I was younger and my dad had, gathered us up in the old Ford, what was that, Ford Galaxy 500. I don't know if you knew that big old car. But so my two brothers and I were in the back seat. And of course, my mom and dad were up in the front seat. And I don't think we had seat belts, so sorry about that, you know. But, you know, we drove from California. You know, I think we right after he got out of work, we started off in the afternoon because we want to go through the desert in the cool of the night because it can get triple digits easy there. And then we went all the way to Maine, actually. And so we went across the country. And in that, you know, people going, well, what made you do that crazy thing? You know? And I can't remember much, but one thing I did remember was the reason why, the thing that drew us to go over to New England area. And that's where most of my relatives are, is because it was my grandpa and grandma's 50th anniversary in Massachusetts. So we went all the way over there. Had a great time. I remember a gathering with all my cousins, which, you know, you only see once in a while, especially since we were on the other side of the country, and uncles and aunts and all that. So and we're all gathered in their house, and we even slept overnight at their house. And it was kind of one of those special moments that you never forget and stuff. So it was just wonderful. And God will use those type of circumstances, you know, to draw people to himself as well. You know, I know for us in this world, our hearts get drawn by different things. Some people get, their hearts are more drawn towards maybe the arts or the entertainment or the sports or, you know, the reading, you know, all the different books, and people are drawn here and there, travels and whatever else, and food. Well, that might be mine. So, you know, things that just draw you, right? And but God, if you really read, as you read his word, you see that he draws us in many different ways to himself. So first of all, he uses his creation. That's a big road sign throughout the whole world. And nobody has an excuse, as it says there in Romans 1. You know, his divine glory, all of his divine nature, all that has shown that everybody knows that there is a God. It's plain right in front of their faces day after day. All the provision provided for water and food and oxygen to breathe, right? I mean, if you don't have that, you're not going to survive. And that's all God's, and that's his creation. His word was also has given as a sign for us to draw us through his word, through his son, Jesus Christ, through the cross. And there's so many other ways that he has drawn us through other people who have spoken and prayed for us. So he uses many different ways. But would God even dare? Would he even dare use difficult circumstances to draw us to himself? Would he even dare do that? Because it's so easy where people will get disappointed and they'll just walk away. I don't want that kind of a God. I want everything my way, because a lot of people are looking for a faith that they don't have to change anything in their lives. They want a faith that they don't have to lose face. They don't have to humble themselves. And so God, does he use dire circumstances to draw us? And so as we read this passage, keep that question in mind, and we'll continue on. And let's pray first before we continue on. Lord Father, yes, we come before you knowing that you are the one who loves us. You have shown us your love in so many ways, and especially through the cross of Christ. And we just are so in awe of that. And the more we know you, the more in awe we become of that great love of yours. And Lord, I pray that you will just speak to us, that you will reveal your truths to us as we go through this passage, this miracle, this sign that Jesus did to show your love and to show who he is. And Father, I pray that you'll cause this word to come alive as we go through it together, that you'll teach us, that you will empower us to live it out as we learn today, to be a blessing to the people around us and to bring glory to your name. So we just thank you for this time together. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, here it is. You got this royal official. We don't know if he was a Gentile or a Jew, but he was in another part in Capernaum, which is about, they say, around 20, 25 miles from Cana. And this official, there was a big scary moment going on. I don't know about you. If you're a parent and one of your children are sick, how do you feel? Are you happy about it? You're usually worried, and probably even more than that, especially how sick they are. If they're near death, which this child was, you're desperate. And you're looking for every which way you can to help your child get better. You'd do anything, correct? You'd drive across the country to do that, wouldn't you? Right. You would do many different things. And that old saying, you know, desperate times call for what? Desperate measures. Well, this official just said, forget this. I don't care what people say about me, but I heard about this Jesus. I know he's down in Cana. I'm going to walk. You know, I don't know if he had a carriage or he walked 25 miles. That's probably about a full day's journey, if not more than a full day's journey back then. But he was done. He probably saw all the different people who could help him. What other doctors? Maybe they had their little other little things they did. Maybe they had the little spiritual things they do, rituals they try to do to try to heal their sons back then. You know, his son back then. I don't know. But they're at their end point there. The last straw has been broken, and now in desperation he goes and sees Jesus. And I kind of ask my question, well, what does he know about Jesus? You know, what does he know about Jesus? Why would he do that? Because what I recall, as I'm reading John, he did one miracle in Cana, and that was where he turned the water into wine. It's pretty powerful, pretty wonderful. And maybe he heard about that. But also, as you go back a little bit in John, and John 2, chapter 2 and 23, and it goes on, it says, many people saw the signs he, which means Jesus, was performing and believed in his name. So he was doing some other things. So he went down there to the temple, and he was zealous for his father's house, and he cleared it out, but he was doing other things as well, probably healings and whatever else he was doing that was happening. And also in 3:2 of John, it says, for no one could perform the signs. This is Nicodemus talking to Jesus. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. So there are some other signs happening. So this royal official must have been, you know, how things go along. All this, you know, if something big is happening, it just goes along the grapevine and it gets heard all over the place. And that's probably what was happening with him. And he's going, oh, this is my last shot. I got to go see Jesus. And when he saw Jesus in desperation, no matter, you know, he wasn't thinking about anybody else, what it looks like. And he begged. This is a royal official. This is somebody of high standing. And he actually says there, he begged Jesus to come and help heal his son. Isn't that something? Desperate times calls for desperate measures. And I don't know about you. In my life, yeah, God did, you know, he used a lot of circumstances to draw me to himself. And finally, he showed me, you know, he really is the one. And I needed him, and I needed to ask for forgiveness and really just give my life to him. Scary circumstances do that. Hard circumstances, lonely circumstances, circumstances when you are broken because you failed badly. You know, I had to leave school. I ran out of money. I didn't complete the program. I had to go back to mama. Don't tell me that wasn't a very humbling experience. Yeah, because you're supposed to be independent, right? You're supposed to be getting over there and getting your degree and doing some big things. And here I am going, failure. Have to go back. It's amazing that he will dare to do that. How dare you, God? Well, I tell you something. He dares because he isn't after your applause or my applause. He's not after your wonderful gifts or your strength or your words or your money or anything else of you. One thing he is after. What do you think that is? Your heart. He wants your heart. He wants my heart. And that's what he did. He was willing to put me through the grinder and put me down into the dust to save me. And that's what's happening here as well. See, if you have a genuine faith, a saving faith, you will see humility in your life. Because you will lose face when you have to admit that you are a sinner. If you haven't done that yet, and you want Christ in your life, you need to do that. You need to lose face and get humble and admit that you need him, because I can't do it. This guy, royal, he tried it all. He probably used all of his money. I don't know what, all of his power and influence to help his son, and it did not work. And he goes to Jesus and says, I cannot do it. I know you can do it. I'm here. I beg you to do it. You're doing something that I cannot do. Humility, sincerity, faith in action is starting to bloom. And we all know that faith is really a gift, but it's a gift that we can either receive or reject. And his heart, you can see, is softening. And then we see another step he takes forward there. Because not only is he begging Jesus, and then you know how Jesus is. You say one thing, he turns around with something else. And he comes up with this. I tell you, listen, you know, unless you see signs and wonders, you will never believe. Well, I'm there going, beg, oh, help me, Jesus, help my son, come. What? I'm done with you. Right? Oh, I can't handle that. What's he saying? Why is he doing that? You know, he's challenging, right? He's confronting, you know, because there's a lot of people just want to see a show. They want a show. I want to see this. I want to see that. Jesus, they kept on asking. You look at even like in John 6, when he already fed 5,000. And then later on, they meet him, and they're saying, show us a sign, Jesus. I'm going, you just saw one, boneheads. Hello, give me a rock. Let me bounce it off your forehead for a little bit. Let's see if something gets knocked loose there. So another step is this. This is to never give up, never surrender. I don't know if you've ever seen Galaxy Quest, that crazy movie. It's a spoof off of Star Trek. But he just says, no, I will never give up, never surrender. That was his theme, right? And so it's also for somebody who is seeking God, never give up, never surrender. Because this guy, the royal official, didn't just say, okay, Jesus, that's too much for me. I'm out of here. No. What does he do? He says, sir, come down before my child dies. So he asks again. he has the gall to ask him again. Other people would have left and said, you're just too much for me, Jesus. But he has such desperation in his heart, the circumstance is so heavy on him that he doesn't care. He's going after the one he believes and is believing more and more that can actually do this for him. Interesting. The old adage of seeing is believing, right? Really? Because Jesus is challenging that. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. There in John 35:36, it says that Jesus says this, you have seen me, and still you do not, what? Believe. There you are. You see me, guys. You see the signs I'm doing. And yet, you do not believe. So seeing isn't really believing, is it? We like to use that, like to think that, but no, there's more to it than seeing is believing. There's something deeper going on in our hearts that springs forth belief. And it's a God thing. And he's working all the time. And whether we receive it and start going towards it and seeking it in our own lives, by God's grace, we're never going to get there. Unless he shows his grace to get us there, truthfully. I still remember that passage. I can't remember where it is, where there was a blind man on the side of the road and he heard Jesus was coming and he just started yelling out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And people are going, be quiet, old fool, blind person, you don't matter in this world, kind of like. He kept on crying out. And what did Jesus do? He healed him and gave him his sight. And this is the Christ that this royal official was coming to see. See, when we are coming to Jesus, we need perseverance as well, don't we? You need humility, sincerity. Boy, you also need perseverance. There's so many roadblocks. There's so much we're talking about this morning in our study. The self is so difficult to get by. Me, myself, and I, boy, you're talking about, those are our biggest enemies. The enemy uses it against us, but those are our biggest enemies. And it's a big, thick wall. It's hard to get through. We can only get through it by the grace of God, by Christ himself chipping away. Failure after failure that we have, God brings forth his wonderful gift of faith in our lives as we persevere. even when it looks like they want us to turn back and run away. Ask, seek, and knock. Right? Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and a door will be opened to you. That is a lot of perseverance. That's what it's telling us. Persevere in that prayer. Persevere in the walk. Persevere in coming before Jesus and asking for help. Don't stop. And then you have another thing. See, there's a changing here. And watch what how Jesus responds to this. So Jesus doesn't wave his magic wand and do these big things and spit on eyes and make mud and all that stuff. He's not doing that. What does he do? Go. Your son will live. Woo! Man. Wow. At least give me something, Jesus. Remember Naaman, that general, foreign general, I forget what country he was from. He came up to one of the prophets of Israel and he was looking to have his diseased skin taken care of. He couldn't do it himself. He heard that there was a prophet that could do that, prophet of God. And I think it was Elisha that told him, say, hey, go wash. Go wash in the river of Jordan and seven times be cleansed. And he got all mad, going, no, yeah! I wanted you to do something big, you know, build an altar, you know, do all these things, and throw some stuff in my face, I don't know, spit on me, I don't know why. But he was looking for something else. He didn't get it the way he was looking for. But then his servant said, hey, if he was going to give you something big to do, wouldn't you do that? And so just do it. He did it. And the seventh time he rose up out of that water and his skin was just like a baby's. And he became a follower of the God of Elisha. We see this. Your son will live. Go. What does the man go? No, he didn't get all panicky. He didn't get all, look at me, I'm the royal official. You know, I can do this to you. I can do that to you and stuff. He wasn't threatening. He wasn't falling on his knees going, please, Jesus, just come with me. What did he do? It says here, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. Whoa. Pull the horses back. We're going forward in our lives, and all of a sudden, the word of God comes. You got to go, whoa. Whoa. What are you going to do with that? Well, that sounds good. It's good for these guys over here, but not for me. What? I got to put that in my little calculator and fix. Let me see. The sine and cosine and I just don't know. Or how does that taste? It's kind of dry. I don't like dryness on that. Maybe crackers. Crackers should be dry. It's just not fitting with me, right? You got all that stuff. But no, this guy, you know what he does? He departs. He takes Jesus at his word. Oh, what a silly guy he is. Oh, yeah, he is. He is. Because now he's all humbled. He doesn't care about anything else. He's just saying, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I've been waiting for. And that faith is just sprouting up. Just like, remember those seeds being planted, it's starting to sprout up and come to fruit. It's starting to be born as he walks, and he's not running in panic. He's not going, I gotta get there fast, stuff like that. I gotta bring a cloth of Jesus with me because I'm just not sure yet. I gotta cut off a piece of your robe, Jesus. I gotta at least put that on him. No, he goes and he walks. And what happens? The servants come and see him, and they're running, and they got some news for him. It's good news. It's good news. Your son lives. Your son lives. Oh, my. I don't know. I think he fell down right there. I think he just says, yeah, you're my God. Jesus, you are God. I think he just said that. I think he said that. Did you say that? When you met circumstances in your life and you're so desperate for something, you've been looking for everything in this world to fulfill your emptiness, your desires, you want to be satisfied. But I don't know about you, but I didn't find it in this world. I found it in Christ alone. Meeting him face to face, whatever that looked like for you, or you're still on the journey to that. He is faithful. Because as he asked these servants, so says, well, when did this happen, guys? Oh, they gave him the hour, and he says, oh, he realized, bing, just as Jesus said, it was done. See, this is the Christ. This is the Messiah. This is the King of Kings. This is the Son of God who changed water into wine. So he's taken nature and changing that, and he goes beyond time because, you know, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to do all this process. So he goes, shows sovereignty over nature and over time. Now, this is the same one, and now he's showing sovereignty over space, because it doesn't give a rip if he's right there or not, because he's really everywhere through his Father. And he has sovereignty over the corruption of sin, because that's why that boy was sick. Oh, man. That's saying some big words. That's showing how big this God is and how much love. He has sovereignty over all things, even our worst enemies. So how do we respond? Well, in Hebrews 11, remember now, faith is this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. They are walking by faith, not by sight. Well, he is. And it changes things. See the humility, the sincerity, the perseverance, and then there's confidence. There's confidence. And your confidence will grow in the Word as you take Jesus at his Word and walk in it. No matter if it's building a boat, an ark out in the middle of the desert without any water around, people laughing at you. Or taking up the knife and ready to put it down on your firstborn son. I mean, your son, your promised son that you're going to be killing. He desires faith, and it's precious to him. So what do we do with it? We shout it from the mountains. See, when we have these circumstances happening in our lives, and we finally notice that Jesus is there for us, and we turn to him, and we come to him, and we get so desperate that we fall at his feet and start begging him, and he just says, go, and you find yourself going without the questioning, and your faith is strengthening. And then you see the results of what he just did to give help. And your life has changed that much more into being like Christ, because he's winning your heart over more and more. It is a battle that we go through day to day, moment to moment, as we're saying. He's after our hearts. So if you find yourself in some circumstances that aren't all that comfortable, well, don't start going, oh, man, I wish this hadn't happened to me. Start bringing it back up to God, who is sovereign over all things. There is a reason why that circumstances is happening in your life. And I guarantee it's all about your heart. I guarantee it is. See, Hezekiah, when he was king, he was bringing, you know, the kingdom. He had the northern and southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, kingdom of Samaria. There is all Israelites, but they split apart. And the northern kingdom fell apart, and they were exiled. But there are still some around, or they're going to be exiled. They're falling apart. He wanted to bring them together. They haven't done a Passover for years. I guess since Solomon's days, might have been a couple hundred years. So he sent people, messengers out, and he brought them. He brought them in. And there, I think it's 2 Chronicles. I might go back to that. 2 Chronicles here. 30. And so he brings them together, and they're going to have that. And it says this here. So you see Hezekiah's heart. He wants to see people coming back to God. Although most of the many people who came from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun had not purified themselves. These are people that fell away from God, okay? These were idol worshipers. They fell away from God, but now God is drawing them to himself through these difficult circumstances, through this Passover celebration. And that Passover celebration is the lamb that is slain for their sin. And who else was slain for the sins of man? Jesus. And so they're coming together. And they had not purified themselves. Oh. Yet they are at the Passover. Contrary to what is written. They weren't supposed to be there. There's a rule. Can't do it. Sorry, guys. Go back to your land. It is not good enough. Wait. But Hezekiah, Hezekiah, heart open to God, prayed for them, saying, may the Lord who is good pardon everyone who sets their heart on seeking God. Ooh. Just like that Roman official. I mean, not royal, that royal official. Set his heart on seeking God, the Lord, the God of their ancestors, even if they are not clean according to the rules of the sanctuary, even if they can't follow the rules, God, would you have mercy on them? Oh, what's the reaction? Flames just shooting out and killing all those people. No. No. Mm-mm. And the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. Totally the opposite. Instead of kicking them out of the Passover, he said, you're seeking me? I'm not worried about those rules. They're there for something else. I'm looking for your heart. I'll heal you and show you that I am God. Just like he healed the son of the royal official. So circumstances happening in your life that are rough, bring it to God. You see people in your life who are just banging their heads against the wall and there's some tough things going on. I think about Lily Hockenberry, and I'm just saying, what's going on there? Because God is sovereign over everything. Everything. So something's happening there. I think he's drawing that family to himself. And maybe, you know what? They might have a true relationship with God, and God is using their lives to draw those doctors and nurses' lives to him, and all of those who hear the story around here to him. So, two things to remember. Circumstances in your life, don't go running away and crying about it. Come to Christ. Circumstances that you're seeing in other people's lives, pray for them. Look for opportunities to point them to Christ. your kingdom builders, right? Go! And he will live. Go. And we do live in Christ by faith. And that is all about grace. Because if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have a chance. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the challenge of your word, confronting us, even though we know you. Lord, we want to know you more. Because you want all of our hearts. You don't want 20%, 30%, 60%, 90%, 99.2%, 99.9%, not good enough. You want all our heart. And so may that be so. And so if we have to fall and fail and we have to come up against dire circumstances, and Lord, may it be so that we can be drawn into your presence. And Lord, may it be so we can point others to Christ, to you, to the one where true healing and true salvation, everlasting life is being offered freely by your grace alone, through Christ alone. So we praise you, Lord. May we go forth in faith. May we walk in faith. May we walk by faith and not by sight. But may we also praise you for the things we see, so other people can hear, so other people can hear how great you are. Thank you, Father. I praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, and all those people say, amen.